We're back.
Have you missed us?
We've missed you.
And for those of you who do not know, I'm Julie.
And I'm Kat.
And together, we make up the true crime fighting duo of...
Miss Murder!
We're back after a couple weeks of
life
happening.
We'll leave it at that.
Life just gets she. So, but
we're here now,
and that's what's really important.
Exactly, we're here to talk shit about crime,
to talk shit about stupid murderers that are horrible, and we hate them.
Yes. So. We literally hate everyone on this show.
I hate everyone, period.
That's true, yes.
Except Kat.
Yeah, we are the only two people that can stand each other.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very true. That's why we lived together throughout college. We couldn't stand anyone else.
Seriously. All right, well... Shall we...
tell them about our exciting new announcement?
We have exciting news!
So, if you haven't followed us on our socials, you've probably missed this announcement. So if you follow ms.murder_podcast on Instagram, or like the Miss Murder Facebook page, we have a merch shop! So yes, we now have a shop where you can buy and adore all things Miss Murder. Coffee mugs, tapestries, canvas, t-shirts, onesies for your child to indoctrinate them into our cult.
Yes.
Baseball tees, I think I already said that. Did I say that?
You said t-shirts.
T-shirts, yeah, t-shirts.
What is a baseball tee?
Oh, it's like the... it's got, like, the color blocking on the sleeves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't watch baseball.
I don't either.
I don't know about baseball.
I just know that it's a style of shirt, and the sport bores me.
It is terribly boring.
Yeah, they used to take us to see the Charlotte Knights. That shit was awful.
I remember people would just go to, like, walk around the stadium unsupervised.
Yep.
We were bad kids. No, we weren't.
Look at us now, deviants running a podcast.
If our teachers could see us now.
They'd be so proud.
They'd be so proud.
They would be so proud of us.
Honestly, I think our teachers would be proud.
They would.
Maybe not that we dedicate our time to murder. I mean, not like as a hobby we murder.
Oh no.
But we just talk.
We talk shit about the people that do.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you haven't followed us, follow us and leave us little cute comments or DMs and
crime recommendations,
all
that stuff. You can find the link for the shop in our bio on Facebook and in our bio on Instagram. Click the link in the bio. I've never said that before.
Click that link.
I've checked off my millennial checklist.
Influencers. We're now totally Catherine.
This is so much to process. Wow.
Yeah.
We're influencers.
Yeah. Well, also, if we seem a little more insane than usual, it's because we are
reunited and it feels so good.
So, yeah. We are currently recording at Catherine's house.
Just sitting on the floor, wearing our masks.
You know, being safe. I guess we're not too distanced right now, but...
no.
But we have our masks.
We're being safe. We gotta record on the mic. So.
We're sharing the one mic because that's the only way we can get it to work.
Hey.
We're not trying to waste all that time like the other day. Or like
That one time. Yeah, I think that was the cell block tango. And we were literally going insane.
Yeah.
What a great time.
But here we are. We're being safe. We're being responsible. And we're ready for murder.
I'm ready for murder because I have no idea what this episode's gonna be about.
Well, let me tell you, Catherine. Let me... take a drink first.
Ah, yes. Take that little sip.
Excuse me.
Totally influencers.
sponsor us.
Oh my god, Chipotle.
Chipotle sponsor us. That's what we had for dinner.
Yeah, with our veggies so fresh, it's pronounced fajita.
And yes, guac is extra, extra delicious.
Doesn't that sound like a great sponsorship, Chipotle?
Yeah, sponsor us. I legitimately have Chipotle at least once a week, so Chipotle, get with it. Slide into my DMs. I promise you, I will not block you. Anyway, okay, so today, Catherine, yes, we are talking about the Little Miss Murder.
Is this like a pageant?
It is not.
Damn.
When I first, saw the name, when I was, researching what case to do, I was like, Little Miss Murder?
That sounds like
a pageant, right.
So, yeah, for anybody that has Discovery Plus, Toddlers and Tiaras, yeah. Where Are They Now? Phenomenal trash TV fix, but I would think one of the, a little kid in pageants either grew up to be a murderer or it's a JonBenet situation.
No. Actually, none of those.
Oh.
Surprisingly. So,
yes.
Let me tell you about Little Miss Murder. Catherine's cat has chosen me. Well, she chose my backpack. She's laying in there like a little bundle. And we're taking pictures.
Her little eyes are shutting like she's gonna go to sleep.
She made it a little nest. Oh, I'm freaking out. I'm so happy. Catherine's cats don't like me or like to come anywhere near me because they sense my dog energy. So whenever they do come near me, I freak out with happiness, and I think that scares them away more, so I'm trying to be calm.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely going to fall asleep on your backpack.
I want to touch her. Can I touch her?
Yeah, I think she'll chirp if you touch her.
She'll chirp! But yes, so let me tell you about the Little Miss Murder. So, this is actually the case of Miss Lisa Marie Kimmel.
Ooh, Marie is a middle name.
Marie
is a
middle
name. It's
going to
be a spicy story.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she's from Montana.
Oh.
So, but, so it got the nickname Little Miss Murder because when she was little, her grandmother called her Little Miss Lisa Marie.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
Hella cute.
That's very cute for grandma, yes.
And it, stuck, right? So then she moved to Denver, Colorado, and she bought a brand new car. So this happens in 1988.
Okay.
This takes place in 1988. And she had just bought a brand new black Honda CRX.
Good for
and
her.
Got a personalized license plate that said Little Miss on it.
Okay.
And she was, sassy and cute.
And
she was 18 at the time.
She was, wow, 18 and buying a new car.
She was a manager at a fast food restaurant. She was killing the game.
Yes.
She was very responsible. She traveled back and forth from Denver to Billings, Montana, every other week or so to, see her mom and her siblings.
Aww.
She was a precious human being.
She sounds so adorable.
She was a precious human being. So, for this case, there is an Unsolved Mysteries episode, the OG Unsolved
Ooh,
Mysteries.
Oh, yeah.
And it actually came out 1989. So, they got interviews, with
fresh.
With her mom, with the law enforcement, with, pretty much everyone involved.
Oh,
eyewitnesses and everything. So, very very interesting case.
Oof, I'm ready.
So, our little journey with Miss Lisa Marie starts on Friday, March 25th, 1988. Lisa was setting out on a road trip from Denver, Colorado to Cody, Wyoming.
Ooh.
To visit her boyfriend, Ed Jarek? Jaroque? Jaroche?
Where am I reading this on
here?
Oh, I want to say that's Jaroche.
Jaroche?
Jaroche, yeah. Because Jaroche just doesn't sound...
Jarek? I don't know. If anybody...
His name is Ed.
His name is Ed.
Big Little Ed.
Yeah, so the plan was that she was going to stop by Cody, Wyoming, where her boyfriend lived, and she was going to pick them up and drive to Billings, Montana with him so that he could meet her parents and her family for the first time. And they were so psyched. So Lisa got into her little black Honda CRX.
With her license plate.
And she set out for Cody, Wyoming after her shift of work that day, which was about like 4:30 in the afternoon. And so she calls her boyfriend once she gets off work and is like, hey, I'm on my way. I'll be there around midnight.
Yeah.
Because the drive, when there's good weather, is about like 8 to 9 hours.
Wow. And
so she was really doing that drive. So, you know, it's the 80s. She's not like in constant communication with him once she's driving. She's driving in pretty much the middle of nowhere on these like old highways.
Yeah.
So by 7 a.m. that next Saturday morning, Lisa has not yet made it to Ed's house.
Oh.
So Ed
obviously
starts to panic.
As a concerned boyfriend would.
Exactly. Like, she was supposed to be there at midnight. And if she wasn't going to be, she would have called.
Yeah. Right?
So he starts to worry, and he starts calling, like, different police departments in, like, 3 different states.
Oh,
just, like, surrounding the area, just to, you know, be on the safe side.
I guess they're near a border.
Yeah.
He was going all out to find his woman.
He wanted to find his woman. He was concerned. And it wasn't until 2 days later when Officer Alan Lesko of the Wyoming Highway Patrol realized that he had stopped Lisa that night for going 88 in a 70 mile per hour zone. So he had given her a ticket that night at about 9:06 p.m.
So
like 4 hours into her drive.
Like halfway there.
She was stopped by Officer Lesko. Officer Lesko recalls that she was well-kept, driving a nice car, and she seemed like the kind of person you'd like to have for a daughter.
Did he kidnap her and make her his daughter?
No.
Is that what Lesko did?
No. Officer Lesko was a great man.
Oh, I take that back.
Well, I mean, he could have been a shit person. I don't know.
He just
gave her the speeding ticket and was on his way.
Okay, well, I mean, okay.
So, yeah. He had given her the speeding ticket, which had been signed by Lisa. So that confirmed that it was her, in fact, that had been pulled over. And this would be the last confirmed sighting of Lisa Kimmel alive.
I figured that's why I said Lesko kidnapped her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was one more sighting of Lisa that night at like a grocery store at around 10 p.m., but that sighting is like unconfirmed.
Yeah, it's like
hearsay, like I think I saw this young blonde girl, you know, blah blah blah. So pretty much days were going by and still no news of Lisa that week.
Days? So Jesus.
Lisa's mother is obviously beginning to worry.
Oh yeah. And any mother should.
Yeah. and so she said that the outlook was looking a little grim, but even if the outcome wasn't as we hoped, we still needed to find her.
Aww.
So it seems like her family was kind of like...
They knew
that...
But...
Something was up.
Like, yeah.
And they, unfortunately, were not going to find their daughter alive.
Aww.
Which is a really sad realization to come to.
It is. Yeah, that's hard.
So, 8 days go by, and there's no luck finding Lisa. The police even, like, they chartered, like, a helicopter to look over, to fly over the area to, like, see if they can see her car. Maybe she had an accident.
Or,
maybe
like, with West Mesa Bone Collector satellite images,
right.
But I don't know if
the 80s, probably not.
No.
But, yeah, no luck. And it wasn't until a local mechanic named Greg Bradford, who had, you know, that Saturday morning, he went to the North Platte River to do some fishing.
As any good gentleman would.
That's right. Any good Wyoming man goes fishing on Saturday mornings.
He knows how to provide.
That's right. So he was, like, down on the banks of the river, And he said he was just, like, walking by, looking for a good place to set up shop.
Yeah,
to set up his equipment when he notices something floating in the river. And he doesn't want to believe that it's a body first.
I don't think anybody's going to want to believe that. You're just going to be like, oh, like, that's a mannequin.
Yeah.
That's
just
not
some trash.
Yeah, there's no way that could be a body.
Yeah, but then he starts to remember about the news
cycle he'd
seen about a young woman from Montana missing close to that area. So he decides to take a closer look, and lo and behold, he sees the almost nude body of a woman floating face down in the river.
Oh, no.
So Greg immediately calls the police to report the body.
Yeah.
And the police come to recover the body and obviously start investigating and securing the area. So when the police get there and they start, like, examining the body, just, like, kind of on, you know, what they can see.
Figuring out what they can at the time, yeah.
So from the body, they can see that Lisa's body showed signs that she had been beaten.
Oh, God.
And she had 6 stab wounds to the chest and abdomen.
Oh, my God, that is personal.
Yeah, 6 stab wounds is, like,
that's
overkill.
Personal overkill. Oof.
However, because it was so cold and the body was, like, pretty much partly preserved by the water.
Yeah.
The body didn't show, like, any signs of decomposition.
Oh.
So the police, like, really
They had no idea how long she had been dead.
They couldn't determine at what point, like, between March 25th and April 2nd, she had actually been left there. So the police start investigating the area nearby. And just a quarter mile away from where they found the body, there's this old bridge.
Oh.
Called Old Government Bridge.
I know this isn't a big detail. Why the old government bridge? That's a fucking mouthful. Call it Old Gov Bridge or something.
It just, like, why?
Why would you
name it government bridge? It wasn't even anything, like, near any government buildings. It was in the middle of nowhere.
That's like naming your dog government.
I would name my dog government. No, I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. I would never do that to him. He would get beat up at the playground.
He would. The other dogs would not be would a not fan have of him. His.
No.
Republicans would love him, though.
Please? Sirius is not a Republican. You already know our platform for when we run, okay?
Yes.
And if you haven't listened to our old episode where we mention our platform to...
I don't remember.
But we talk about it. So listen to all of them and see which one it is.
It's
and
a tell game.
Us. It's a game. So yeah, they go check on this bridge and they notice some little red stains there.
Oh, and Old Government Bridge has a secret.
Yeah, so they take samples and they find that the blood, that it is blood on the bridge.
Spoiler.
And that the blood is actually the same blood type as Lisa's. So, coincidence?
I think not.
I think not. And so this particular bridge, like I said, it wasn't close to anything. Like, it was some, like, old, basically abandoned bridge.
Kind of like the old abandoned shed in the park where we grew up.
Yeah, like that. Like, it was just, like,
it's
not
just
near anything. It's not really accessible. It's not really used very much. So obviously, this led the investigators to believe that whoever did this to Lisa had to be local.
Oh, yeah.
And had to, like, be familiar and
with
live
the
near
area
that area.
And know where this bridge is.
So, at this point, the police start, like, interviewing witnesses and, you know, like, houses nearby and stuff. And Cat's house has this little singing clock that plays music on the half hour,
like,
and on the hour.
Like a little chime. Like, not, it's not like a, I guess it's like a grandfather clock chime.
Sort of. It's very beautiful.
It is.
So yeah, where were we?
She's passed out on your bag too.
Oh my God, she's full. Cat's cat
is fully asleep on my bag now. Oh, like, just made into a little ball.
Oh my goodness.
So cute. Yes, so where was I?
It had to be a local.
Yes, they were interviewing people that live nearby, and they had actually told the police that they had seen some suspicious activity at the bridge.
Something fishy going down at Old Government Bridge.
Yeah, they had seen some suspicious car lights out there.
Oh.
And
I guess Government Bridge is not the hot spot for young lovers.
It is not. It is not a lover's lane.
I don't think it's a lover's lane. It's a government bridge.
Government officials there only. No. So, because of the accounts that they were hearing, the police estimated that Lisa would have been murdered about 5 hours after she was stopped by Officer Lesko.
Oh.
Like, just like in the early, like, dawn hours of Saturday morning. However, there started to be some conflicting reports that came in to the police.
The locals are confused.
The locals were saying,
don't mind that. It's just an automatic cat bowl. I'm not a crazy cat woman. Let's continue.
The locals told the police that they've seen Lisa's car driving around. After.
Well, I mean, it's also a brand new car in the 80s with a Little Miss license plate. That's going to be very hard to miss.
Exactly. You would remember seeing that. So there ended up being over 1,000 sightings of the Little Miss car that came into the Natrona County Sheriff's Department.
Holy shit.
By the time that the episode of Unsolved Mysteries came out in 1989. So some claim to have seen Lisa with an unknown male companion. Some claim to have seen Lisa in freaking Canada.
Okay.
Like.
Cool.
How? You can imagine how this, like, complicated the investigation.
Oh, yeah. Especially because it's not like today, I think, where you can, you know, you can snuff out tips.
Exactly.
Like, false tips and incorrect information fairly quickly, I assume. But definitely faster than the process of the 80s.
There was maybe some credibility to these sightings after all.
Oh, do tell.
Because there maybe was somebody who was driving Lisa's car.
Is this a
in the following days?
Is this a doppelganger situation?
No.
Damn.
So, some of the eyewitness accounts came. Cat's mom needs to go get the mail.
At 8:35
at night. the things you think about before you go to bed.
That's why she'd be great on a podcast.
She would.
She would be so great.
The banter.
The banter. The banter is love. Just amazing.
Yeah, babes.
Absolutely babes.
Absolutely babes. We're gonna start texting in British.
Yes. We learned today that is a thing. Thank you, TikTok. So we're elevating our texting game to the next level.
Oh, you guys get pretty litter.
Yeah, we just got it to try it. Or this is our first round of it.
I hear it's very good. Sponsor is Pretty Litter.
Please, I have cats.
So many cats.
You heard our automatic food bowl. You know we're serious about cats in this house.
Get your Pretty Litter here, folks. Sponsor
at
us.
PrettyLitter.com. Insert sponsorship.
Boo-doo-doo. It's actually not sponsored, so...
Please. Please help.
Slide into the DMs, Pretty Litter. All right. It was really complicated. All these, like, conflicting eyewitness accounts complicated the investigation. Because a lot of eyewitness accounts even came from, like, law enforcement officers.
Oh.
And other, like, credible sources.
Oh. Just some random person calling in for fun.
Yeah.
Because people do that. It's weird.
It's so weird. Why do that? So one account that they found to be particularly credible because it came from the wife of a local sheriff, Donna Kirkpatrick. She claimed to have seen the car driving in Buffalo, Wyoming.
about like 10 hours after officers believed Lisa would have been killed.
See, I looked at the map and I was like, Buffalo, New York, but Wyoming's on the other side of the country.
Yeah. No, no.
We suck at geography. Just
geography is not our strong suit.
So now I've learned there's a Buffalo, Wyoming.
Yeah, there is. So she said, so this is like the interview that she gave the Unsolved Mystery episode. She said, it was Saturday at noon, and I noticed a little black sports car had pulled out right in front of me. Then I noticed the license plate. It was a Montana license plate with Low Miss on it. And at that point, I decided that I needed to see if the car went with whoever was driving it. I am absolutely positive there was a young gal driving it. There's not a doubt in my mind. So she also said that the girl driving it was wearing a pink sweater.
Oh, that'll stand out.
So another account came in a whole day after that. So this was on Sunday. And it came from Casper, Wyoming, which is 100 miles away from Buffalo, Wyoming. So like totally opposite. Like I think it was like 2 hours from her like route that she was supposed to be taking. And so this lady, Diana Houston, said it was Sunday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm looking at the map now.
Oh, yes. It was it's more north, I believe. Or no.
Cody or Casper?
Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo's north. Yeah.
So Diana Houston said it was Sunday afternoon and I saw a Montana license plate on a vehicle. And being from Montana, it caught my eye. So I looked and the license plate said Little Miss. I went by and I saw somebody with blonde hair driving and she had on a yellow sweater.
Oh.
And Officer Lesko,
who gave
the only other person who actually saw her, he remembers her wearing a black and white sweater. So, Sheila Kimmel, Lisa's mom, later said that she didn't think Lisa owned either a yellow or a pink sweater.
So,
moral of the story, eyewitness reports are unreliable.
They are unreliable.
So, but anyway, like, reports like these kept coming in, claiming to see Lisa for, like, days after she had been believed to be dead by the police. Mm-hmm. So, what was the truth?
What happened to Lisa? What happened to Little Miss?
When had Lisa actually been murdered? And who was driving her distinctive car around Wyoming?
Oh, my goodness.
And it wasn't until the autopsy was performed.
Oh, yes.
That it was discovered that Lisa had been sexually assaulted.
Oh, God.
And tortured for 6 days.
Oh, my God.
After her disappearance.
So she very well could have been driving her car around. And then they just made her switch clothing.
Yep. And so.
Oh, God.
After this, like, some other eyewitness accounts that came, like, so the some of the eyewitness accounts that had been coming in.
English,
take a shot. Some of them said that she had an unknown male companion with her, but that Lisa hadn't been asking for help and that the guy in the car didn't look out of place. But the descriptions that were given by these people were all like, so different. I think they said they had about 20 different composite sketches, and none of them were similar enough to even like put out a wanted poster.
Eyewitness
accounts are unreliable AF. But yeah, she had been kept for about 6 days after her disappearance. God. And that's pretty much all they knew. And the case immediately went cold.
Yeah.
And it stayed cold for 14 years.
Jesus Christ.
That was until the summer of 2002.
Are we going to thank DNA testing for this?
We are going to thank DNA testing.
Our bad bitch queen.
We love DNA. You know what?
We'll also put that on a t-shirt.
Bad bitch. Bad.
We love DNA.
We love DNA.
DNA queen. Or we just put DNA with a crown on it.
Yes.
I could get with that.
Yes, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, DNA is that girl. DNA is that girl.
Hot girl shit.
Hot girl shit. Literally, what did we even do before DNA?
Wrongfully convict innocent people and sentence them to die.
Damn, that got dark real fast.
It did, but it's the truth.
So, yeah. In the summer of 2002, there was, like, an initiative in the Natrona County Department, office, or Police Department, to look back at some of the old cold cases.
Yeah.
You know, with to test them for new DNA evidence now that they have the technology.
They have the technology.
They have the science now. So they came across the rape kit that they had performed from Lisa's body. And because, you know, there was, like, some seminal evidence. Excuse me.
It's the Chipotle.
It's the Chipotle.
Every burp is sponsored.
I had a delicious half steak, half barbacoa bowl with guac. And, of course, the vinaigrette. Some chips. The new organic lemonades. I am a firm advocate for Chipotle. Insert the vine of the little kid going, I love Chipotle.
Chipotle is my life. That's actually what's going on in Julie's brain.
All the time. There was one point in time where I would, like, order Chipotle, like, multiple times a week.
Hey.
But I'm trying to cut back for my wallet. My wallet's sake, which I wouldn't have to do if Chipotle sponsored me. I would just eat more Chipotle. But anyway. Yeah, so thank you, Chipotle, for all of the gas.
The gas and the gas.
The gas and the gas. We're having too much fun.
We are.
And there's cats. There's so many. They're just climbing on everything.
Except the kitchen table. No, no.
Because they try to eat my Chipotle, and that's unacceptable, because the only person eating my Chipotle is gonna be me. Okay? Anyway, back to Little Miss Murder here. So they created the DNA profile from the rape kit, and they run it through CODIS, which, if you don't know, that is the Combined DNA Index System. It's just like this giant database that has DNA profiles from, you know, victims and
everyone,
criminals, and
that's how they get hit. That's how they get cases, because they'll see a DNA match taken from a victim, and then they're like, "Oh shit, we got them."
Yep. And guess what?
What?
They got a hit.
They got a hit.
The profile matched that.
Oh.
A 57-year-old. Dale Wayne Eaton.
Oh, that's not a cute name.
Not a cute name.
That is,
I hate
his
it.
Parents were...
They didn't love him. They didn't love him.
Because I always say, you gotta give your kid a title.
A title.
A title in their name.
Dale, like, Wayne Eaton. It's just... That's just like a bleh.
It's
a bleh to say.
Was he... I take it he was a pretty bleh individual.
He was a bleh individual. I would say so. Let me tell you why he was a bleh individual. Little Dale, he had his... DNA in CODIS.
Oh.
Because he was actually serving time at Englewood Federal Prison in Littleton, Colorado at the time.
Oh.
For an unrelated little weapons charge. Because it turns out that after he tried to kidnap an entire family.
What?
At gunpoint.
An entire fucking family.
There was like a family that was having car trouble. And he offered to help them with their car, and then he pulled out a gun and tried to kidnap them.
How the fuck? You're...
You're one person, sir.
You're one person against an entire fucking family.
Yeah, so luckily they managed to escape, and then he tried to flee the police, but then they found him hiding in the forest, like, days later.
He had to go on his journey of self-discovery into the woods.
Well, let me tell you, it didn't work.
Into the woods, da 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 da. We're gonna find Dale.
One time, when the Into the Woods movie came out.
Oh my god.
Catherine, please, let me tell the story. Went to go see the movie. It was me, Kat, and our friend Sam. Shout out to Sam.
We love you, Sam. Let's hang.
And what were we arguing about?
Oh, he thought it was... I distinctly remember. He thought it was a shitty movie, but we were both like, no, that was a great movie.
Excellent.
Because we saw the stage play.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We knew what we were getting into.
So we literally got into a screaming match outside of the movie theater.
Yelling spoilers to all these people that were waiting to see it.
We were those teenagers. arguing about musical theater movies adaptations.
She was basically like, no, Sam, it's a satire. You're not supposed to take it seriously. Did you not hear the song where the two princes are just singing at the water fountains being dramatic as hell?
Love it.
Satire. Satire. It was great.
You know.
What a moment.
Sam just didn't get it. He's not sophisticated like we are.
In the art of theater.
The art of theater. We are performers. We are artists. We are creative. We are creatives. You know, you just don't.
You can't tame those wild spirits of genius and creativity.
We have baby dolls hanging from the ceiling. Just kidding. That's Catherine's sister. That's your cat.
That's my cat. Yeah, that's my cat's sister.
That is Cat's sister? Cat's sister,
no,
Emily.
No, my cat's sister.
Your cat's sister. Yeah. No, for real though, Cat's sister, Emily. Love you, Emily.
We love you.
But she's like an artist, you know, like a proper artist. Because she's a little weird. But in an artsy way, you know?
Yeah, like their house is covered in art and she happens to have two baby dolls suspended from the ceiling.
You know, hot girl shit. Anyway. So yeah, where were we? Oh yeah, Eaton tried to fucking kidnap an entire family by himself at gunpoint.
How would you even come to that decision? You're sitting there counting, okay, we got mom, dad, how many fucking kids? Maybe there's a dog involved. I can take all of them on.
You know,
he was bold.
It's that toxic masculinity.
It probably is.
Men really believe
macho
that they can
man
just,
thought he could do it.
They have the audacity, men.
He had the audacity, and then he realized, no, I have to retreat into the forest and rediscover myself.
Yes. But they caught him.
Good.
And he was in federal prison.
Good.
And the police had his DNA. And now he has
a hit?
They found his semen inside of a dead girl.
Who was tortured for 6 days.
So, you know, after this, the police are like, okay, we've got our guy. But what the fuck happened to the car?
Yeah.
Where's the fucking car? So they start talking to his neighbors. Oh. And his neighbors are like, you know what? I recall him digging a big ass hole on his property.
What?
Around that time.
This man had the audacity to try to fucking bury a car?
He didn't just try, Catherine.
Did he succeed?
He successfully buried this whole fucking car
in his single man.
One single man
buried a car.
The car
by himself.
By himself. And his neighbor saw this man digging this huge fucking hole and didn't think to question
why is this man digging such a large hole? You know, it's one thing to see a man digging a small, regular-sized hole
like,
in the backyard.
Even if you were, like, burying a body, you know.
You know.
That's still not a deep...
But that's opening up a fucking pit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at concerts, open the pit and throw the car
in. Yeah. So, the police got a warrant after talking to the neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And what do they find dug underneath?
Was it a body?
No.
Was it multiple bodies?
No. It was none other than a black Honda CRX with a cute little license plate that said Lil Miss on it.
You could have at least made some fucking money and sell it.
Yeah, right? Like,
you could have sold it. You could have fucking
done anything with it. Just
literally given it to your...
Yeah, literally sold it and then moved away from the area to go
but
into
you literally
incognito.
Dug
yeah.
A massive hole and buried the car.
It's almost as if he were keeping it as a trophy.
A trophy?
And that will come into play later.
Ah,
because
I see.
Perhaps this was not an isolated attack.
Oh.
Perhaps he had some...
Wayne was fucking crazy.
He had perhaps had some serial killer type tendencies.
Ah, well, he did try to kidnap a family.
He did.
So that, yes.
Yes.
And he buried a car. That is also psychopath
it
behavior.
Is. Hella. Hella. So after they found this car...
Oh my god.
That was pretty much enough to seek charges against Eaton.
Yeah. Who the...
So,
I still can't wrap my head around that. Like... What did he tell us? Oh, I'm just digging a pool, and then the pool never comes. Never
showed up. I changed my mind. Decided to fill it all back
up. I just realized it was too much a financial burden for me right now. I just couldn't afford it.
It's just so much maintenance, you know.
It is. I thought it was what I wanted, but I got a good workout out of it.
I live in fucking Wyoming. Is the weather ever good enough for a pool?
We actually don't know.
I don't.
We literally do not know.
Well, it was March or April, and it was cold enough for the water in the river to preserve a body, so...
That's true, yeah. So, was he trying to build a really ambitious hot tub?
Perhaps.
But I don't think he's bright enough to come up with that kind of cover.
No, he was not an engineer.
He buried a car. He was not an engineer.
No, no, no. So, they were finally able to bring charges against Eaton, and he was eventually charged with 8 crimes in relation to the Lisa Kimmel case. He was charged with first-degree premeditated murder.
Boom.
Aggravated kidnapping.
Yes.
Aggravated robbery.
Fuck him.
First-degree sexual assault.
Fuck him.
And second-degree sexual assault.
I guess you can't really charge someone for burying a car.
I guess that's the robbery?
Yeah. Okay.
He robbed the car.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
He didn't do anything smart with the car.
No.
But whatever.
He just buried it. So, I still can't get over that.
Yeah, it baffles me.
It does.
People be dumb.
First of all, I don't know the sizes of cars, but cars are pretty fucking big.
It's just a lot.
I mean, he must have calculated the size. Did he also just have one shovel? I think he might have. Like, did he just, like, take out a tape measure and just, like, all right,
These are the dimensions.
These are the dimensions. Time to get to work. And he's, like, a little fucking dwarf from Snow White. You also have to account for extra room on top. Yeah, because you got to make sure it's sufficiently buried. Yeah, this is the backyard. Hi-ho, hi-ho. Bury the car I go. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm getting away with it.
No, but he did. No, he did not. So, she wants the pretty litter. Cat's cat loves the pretty litter, just from the box.
Yeah, she's like so sniffing it.
Yeah,
putting.
I gotta say, you know, pretty litter
on the box.
Get on that shit. And anyway, so during the trial, one of Eaton's fellow inmates, Joseph Francis Dax.
Was he spilling the hot tea with Joseph?
He was spilling the hot
tea. He was spilling the tea with Joseph.
What else do inmates have to do
in a Wyoming prison?
Then, you know, spill the hot goss and try to one-up each other for the crimes they committed. So, Mr. Joseph Dax got on stand and testified against his dear friend.
Ooh.
He told
betrayal.
He told the court that Eaton had confessed to him that he had run into Kimmel at a rest stop that evening.
Oh.
And Eaton had asked for a ride.
Oh.
And little Lisa, being the sweetheart that she was, agreed to give Eaton a ride.
Oh, because
hitchhiking was a thing in the 80s.
Stranger
danger wasn't a thing.
Da-da-da.
Which, you know, you would think, like cases, like the Manson family murders, like...
And, like, what, because, I mean, that whole window was, like, the late 60s to the early 80s.
Literally.
Roughly.
So many bad things happened during hitchhiking, like, with hitchhiking during that time. That's why it's, like, outlawed in so many parts of the country.
Yeah. I do know one girl, she hitchhiked from, when I did my study abroad, she hitchhiked from Sweden to Denmark.
But that's Europe.
Yeah, it's a completely different vibe, but apparently she was like, if it's a guy and a girl, it's less suspicious than like 2 guys or 2 girls. Mm,
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I learned that. Now you've learned that. Yeah,
well, I wouldn't hitchhike.
No, I wouldn't either, no.
Well, I mean, maybe if I was in Sweden, because the Swedes are just very kind people, I feel like.
Kind, but cold.
Well, yeah, well, I mean...
Well, they say the only way to make a friend in Stockholm is to kidnap them in a bank. That's how we got Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
Do you know the story of Stockholm
Syndrome?
No, I don't. Oh!
Tell us the story of Stockholm Syndrome.
Let me tell you about the story of Stockholm Syndrome. Okay, so basically this guy walked into a bank, took hostages, and said, I'm not releasing these hostages until, you know, I get my demands. They had a sniper on the roof. The police were all over the place. And they're trying to talk to the hostages, and the hostages are like, oh no, we're fine. This guy's really cool.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like, they were literally defending the guy that had taken them hostage. And even after the situation ended, like, they were all, like, good friends. Like, I'm pretty sure the kidnapper was, like, a best man.
Stop.
In one of the hostages' weddings.
Literally, shut up.
Yeah.
So, if we have any listeners in Sweden, what the fuck?
You know? That's the only way you can make friends there.
What the fuck? Well, I have a friend who actually did, like, his master's degree in Sweden, and he was just talking about, like, how people in Sweden, like, wouldn't even, like, look you in the eye. Or
oh, yeah, it's great.
Or even talk to you unless they were drunk, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's so great because when, like, you go into shop, nobody talks to you.
I love being left alone.
Like,
I love when people mind their own business.
None of the sales associates talk to you.
Good.
Not until you get to the register and it's time to check out. It's so refreshing and
you
nice.
You mean they're not hounding you to open a Belk credit card and they don't follow you around the store to open a Belk credit card? Belk, don't sponsor us because your employees hounded me and followed me throughout the store asking me if I wanted to open a credit card.
Yeah, that was a bad experience.
Yeah, where were we? Oh, yeah, so homegirl offers to give little Dale a ride.
Oh, because she's like, just a
she's
sweetheart.
She's a sweet little Montana girl who probably just wanted to be helpful.
Yeah.
And, like, girl, stranger danger. But, you know, Eaton was like, oh, my God, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me a ride.
Let me just stab you and so, torture you to repay you.
They started to drive. Things were going all right.
Yeah.
Until Dale started making unwanted sexual advances
towards
Lisa.
I knew it.
Because he had the audacity.
He had the fucking audacity.
And, obviously, Lisa did not want this and started to feel uncomfortable. So she pulled over and was like, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dale was not happy about that.
No.
And that's when he pulled out his gun.
Oh, God.
Threatened her at gunpoint. And kidnapped her. And
there really isn't, I guess, anywhere you could, like, drive to for help. Like,
yeah.
You know, with gas stations, like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom, or we need gas, or, oh, our tires. Like, you can't just, like, break off.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
It's, so we know that he kidnaps her at that point. And for the next, like, 6 days or whatever, she's spotted driving her car with a man. In her car with her. So,
maybe,
like,
it was Stockholm Syndrome.
Maybe it was Stockholm Syndrome. Because from all accounts that saw her, she was not calling for help. She did not seem uncomfortable. The man did
that could
not
also
seem,
just be, like, trauma.
I mean,
because of threatening her. So,
yeah,
either Stockholm Syndrome
but,
or
like,
she was genuinely
they
too
literally
scared.
Just saw her, like, her in her car all over fucking the northwest part of the country. Like, all in Wyoming. And even Canada, which those probably didn't happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, Joseph Dax confessed all of this in trial. And on March 20th of 2004, Mr. Dale Wayne Eaton was convicted on all 8 counts against him and
Good.
Was sentenced to death.
Good!
So,
this is a case where we're like, yes, die, but the whole system needs to be reformed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, he tried to appeal his conviction.
How'd that go?
He lost.
Good.
And he was scheduled to be put to death on February of 2010. But then in December of 2009, Eaton received a stay of execution, which is just fancy law speak for just a delay. And they granted it to him, but then in 2014, he petitioned a federal judge to say that he had ineffective counsel and that he should not have the death penalty.
Yeah, you shouldn't have the death penalty for kidnapping a 18-year-old, torturing her for six days, and then stabbing her.
Beating her, stabbing her, and throwing her into the river.
Raping her, like, no.
Yeah, no.
Ugh.
I just don't deserve it.
No.
She didn't deserve it.
She didn't deserve
so,
it. He deserves it.
He deserves it. So, yeah, in 2014, the federal judge reviewed the case and then overturned his death sentence. And as of 2019, February 2019, Eaton is still waiting a new sentencing hearing while on death row.
I was just about to say, did they just, like, turn it to life in prison without parole? But
no, they're definitely, he just has to have, like, a new hearing, like, yeah. a new sentencing hearing with a new counsel.
Mm-hmm.
But the state is, like, continuing to fight, like, for the death penalty.
Yeah.
And Eaton is actually currently the only inmate on death row in Wyoming. The only one.
Wow.
But obviously, because of COVID,
yeah,
everything's gotten pushed back. And yeah, he's just sitting there on death row, waiting to hear a new sentencing to see if he's going to get killed or not.
What so, a way to spend your days.
We'll keep an eye out for that and see.
Yeah. I haven't seen any updates from like Sheila Keen or anything like that.
Nothing like that.
So.
Nothing like that. So that's his story. That's Lisa's story. And so the Kimmel family actually also filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Eaton, and they won.
Good.
And they were awarded all of Eaton's property.
Including that massive
including that massive hole in the backyard that they now have to fucking fill back up. And they ended up burning his house down on July 18th, 2005, which would have been
good.
Lisa's 36th birthday.
Oh.
So, but I'm glad that they, you know, won
what
that.
What a fucking therapeutic way
like,
to,
just
like,
burn that shit.
That must have been so cathartic for them.
But let me tell you, that may not have been a great thing.
Oh, no. Because they think that she was killed in the house and her family accidentally destroyed any evidence.
So remember how I told you maybe that he kept the car as a trophy?
Uh-huh.
So...
No. No.
The police...
No.
Then after Eaton was convicted and, you know, kind of started tracing his movements around that time, they realized he has a history of torture.
Oh, God.
Crime. Kidnapping.
He's a serial.
And he kept Lisa's car as a sort of trophy. All things that point to serial killer-like patterns.
Yes.
And behavior. And it turns out that during this same time of Lisa's murder, there was a spree of murders in this area called the Great Basin Murders that are unsolved.
Oh, no.
And,
her family.
Yeah.
They
and,
didn't mean to.
No, they didn't. And one thing that, like, really kind of helped them connect the cases is that Eaton was believed to have been, like, I don't know what kind of business he did, but he was believed to have been in the area of several disappearances of, and murders of like, other Wyoming women during that time.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah, if there was any evidence in his home, they burned it all down.
Oh, my God.
And now we will never know if Lisa was just one of many.
Or how many.
Of how many.
Oh, my God.
So... didn't end on a super happy note.
No.
Like, they got justice because, you
they
know,
did.
He's obviously
he's
either going
prison.
To rot in jail or be put to death. And Lisa gets her justice, but now we don't know about several other murders in that area.
We don't.
During that time. So, yeah, sorry, friends. Couldn't give you, I couldn't just let you be happy at the end
no.
of that one.
Not after our hiatus.
No. It had to be devastating. But thank you for sticking with me through that episode.
Yes.
And are you ready for our ABCs of crime?
I am totally ready for our ABCs of crime.
We have come to the conclusion that there's only 26 letters in the alphabet and we're on episode
17. We're gonna have to repeat it.
So what?
We're gonna repeat stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So, Catherine came up with an excellent ABCs of crime for you this week. Catherine, take it away.
This week's letter is H for holes. Because our criminal here would have done really great at that holes camp with Shia LaBeouf, but instead became a serial killer.
He could have been digging for Kissing Kate Barlow's treasure all this time, and instead, he chose to kill people, and that's not cool.
That's not cool at all. They probably would have found the treasure if he was able to dig a hole like that on the regular.
Stanley Yell Nat's great-great-great pig-stealing grandmother would not have been cursed if Lil Dale Eaton here would have just put his whole digging powers to good use.
Oh my god, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. But yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, that's it.
We love you.
And be sure to check out the links in our bios.
Buy our merch, follow us, send us DMs.
And case recommendations and
tell us you missed us. Yes. Good night, friends.
Good night.